B-Pod Studios.
Dateline, New York City. New York police have charged a woman with murder after an unsuspecting female commuter was shoved off a New York City subway platform right in front of an oncoming train. It killed her instantly. The 49-year-old victim was pushed onto the tracks at Times Square Station in Midtown Manhattan. Acting on information from witnesses, officers at the station arrested Melanie Liverpool, age 30, from the borough of Queens on suspicion of murder. We have one of the witnesses who came forward. He is with us on the phone. Is this a Mr. Jeffrey?
Yes, this is Mr. Jeffrey.
Okay. In your last name, or is that your first name, Mr. Jeffrey?
Yes, Mr. Jeffrey.
All right, Mr. Jeffrey, I'm Mr. Stan. What did you see, sir?
Well, it was very dark. The day and night looked the same.
Well, you're in a subway station, sir.
And it was, if you'll pardon me, Mr. Stan.
Yes, Jeffrey.
It's Mr. Jeffrey.
Is it that your last name? I want to get this straight. Is Jeffrey your first name or your last name, sir?
In my culture,
yes,
it is a sign of disrespect if you do not refer to a person in the manner in which they insist, and I insist on Mr. Jeffrey.
Okay, please. Mr. Jeffrey.
Thank
so
you.
Jeffrey is your last name.
My name is Mr. Jeffrey.
Okay. Who was with you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Times Square station when you saw this woman push another woman into the train?
There was Mr. Joseph.
Okay, Mr. Joseph. That's his first name. It's Joseph, you know, Smith.
And... No, his name is Mr. Joseph.
Mr. Joseph.
That is how he
wishes to be.
Okay.
He represents himself. So there was you, Mr. Jeffrey, and Mr. Joseph.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Daniel was there as well.
Mr. Daniel. These sound like all first names.
And we were joined in a platonic fashion.
Okay.
By Mrs. Carroll.
Mrs. Carroll.
Yes, Mrs. Carroll.
And there's nothing going on between Mrs. Carroll, Mr. Daniel, Mr. Joseph, and you, Mr. Jeffrey.
Absolutely not. Mrs. Carroll was going to be a featured speaker. We were on our way to a meeting.
Okay.
Mrs. Carroll was to speak on her experience as a woman of color, a queer, bisexual, Mexican, African American, Irish American immigrant raised by families rooted in Catholicism.
Oh, my goodness. You talk about a diverse woman. She probably had a lot to talk about this, Mrs. Carroll.
She talks in volume, yes.
Yeah, and so you were accompanying her, you, Mr. Joseph, and Mr. Daniel. Now, you and Mr. Joseph and Mr. Daniel and
Mrs. Carroll.
Mrs.
She's
Carroll. Well, she would still be a Miss then. If she's Mrs., she's already married and not going to be married.
Well, she is a Mrs. Carroll, a woman of color, queer bisexual.
Queer bisexual,
what? Mexican, Irish, African American, American immigrant raised in Catholicism.
Okay, so does the church accept it?
She is gay married, not engaged.
All right, and that's what I'm saying about.
She is gay married.
Gay married. She's gay married, and she practices Catholicism, which looks down upon gay marriage.
As do I, sir.
Okay, but are you friends with her?
As of this moment, no.
All right. Was her wife there as a witness as well?
Yes.
And her
wife, Mr. George, was there.
Mr. George. is her wife. Mr. George, I take it, is a transsexual who was named George, but now what? Georgia? What?
Well, I'm fairly certain that Mr. George is not her birth name. She pretends to be a man.
So she pretends to be a man while Mrs. Carroll is a queer, transgendered Spanish American.
She's a woman of color.
A woman of color.
Bisexual, Mexican, Irish, African American immigrant raised in Catholicism.
Gotcha. Now, they were together. So, Mrs. Carroll and Mr. George, who are together, they're a couple, were there along with you, Mr. Daniel, and Mr. Joseph. And you
Correct.
Saw. And you saw what?
I saw quite a commotion.
I bet you did.
People were saying things like, what? What happened?
Mm-hmm. But what did you see?
Oh, my God.
You were... Yes.
I saw people moving somewhat in a swift manner.
Uh-huh.
I saw hands in the air and wringing of hands.
Wringing of hands. Were you wringing your hands, sir?
Yes.
Something tells me you are a well-cultured, well-dressed man.
You could not be more correct, sir, and I was raised in the proper manner with proper manners socially,
mm-hmm.
and being put in a position of dealing with a gay married couple, especially a woman of color who is queer, bisexual,
yes.
Mexican, Irish, African American immigrant raised in Catholicism.
Who you were friends with, but you're not anymore.
Well, we were acquaintances.
Okay, I know, and it was platonic.
Well, the only time that we had engaged socially prior to, I was aware of the fact that she was a woman of color, queer, bisexual, Mexican, Irish, African American, immigrant raised in Catholicism.
Yes.
I did not know that at the time, and we simply enjoyed some reggaeton.
Okay. Does she have, favorite reggae artists that she likes listening to? I mean, I don't know what type of music caters to that particular person.
She enjoys the music of Burning Steer.
Thank you.
While I, on the other hand, am a bit old-fashioned and prefer the music of Bob Nesta Marley.
Yes.
I also appreciate what Ms. Rita Marley has done, and
yes.
I also appreciate Mr. Ziggy Marley.
Okay. Had you previously met Mr. George at that time, or was this the first time on the subway platform that you had met Mr. George?
That was my first introduction to Mr. George, and I was shocked because I commented to my colleagues before I was aware this person was joining our party. I pointed out, look at that. That is a woman trying to dress as a man.
And then you found out that she was the wife of Mrs. Carroll.
That Mrs. Carroll then informed me that she was a woman of color, queer, bisexual, Mexican, Irish, African American immigrant steeped in Catholicism.
Yes. Now,
it was quite a shock.
Now, were you three other men, Mr. Daniel and Mr. Joseph? Were you?
Yes, he was not in attendance.
Were Mr. Joseph, Mr. Daniel, and you accompanied by any other people? Did you have maybe your wives or girlfriends or husbands with you?
I believe if memory serves me.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Ryan? Who's Mr. Ryan?
Mr. Ryan is an acquaintance from my workplace.
So it has nothing to do with Mr. Joseph and Mr. Daniel?
Mr. Joseph and Mr. Daniel work with me on matters of a political concern. Mr. Ryan was a step behind us and planned to join us.
So he probably did not witness the woman pushing the other woman off the subway platform.
No, I don't believe that Mr. Ryan can make a reasonable claim that he could have seen much of anything, because I saw nothing.
You saw, Mr. Jeffrey, you came on, and it is reported in the story that you were the one that identified the woman who was arrested in Queens, a Miss Liverpool, who was the 30-year-old who did that and apparently didn't even know the woman she pushed onto the tracks.
Yes, I assisted the law enforcement officials.
But you said you saw nothing.
I saw nothing, no.
Then why would you be a witness?
Because I know when someone is guilty. I saw the rest of the crowd. They were distraught, milling about, heading for the exit. And I saw this woman,
Miss Liverpool,
very aggressive and shouting at people, "You don't know me. You don't know me. Shut the F up. You don't know me. You don't even know me."
All right.
And I said, "That woman is guilty."
Yeah, but she didn't admit to anything. You didn't see her throw anybody into the tracks. Did Mr. Joseph, Mr. Daniel, Mrs. Carroll, Mr. George, or tailing behind Mr. Ryan see anything? And did they talk to the police?
I know that Mr. Ryan could not have seen anything.
Right, okay,
now,
so he's out.
He may claim otherwise in seeking attention.
All right.
I am now estranged from Mr. Ryan due to his aberrant behavior.
His aberrant behavior towards you or towards Mrs. Carroll and Mr. George, or to wanting attention, claiming to have seen the witness, Miss Liverpool, throwing the woman into the tracks?
Well, when we had made our statements, I accused Mr. Ryan of making a false statement. And then he went with Mr. George and Mrs. Carroll. And what the three of them got up to, I do not want to know.
All right, so you're friends with none of them. Now,
I am estranged.
So, basically, I'm speaking to you as somebody who saw nothing.
Nothing.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up.
way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hating on all afternoon.
Miracle so powerful it can strip paint. Yet so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Social distancing. I'm in the studio from his home poolside. Is Mark Haney, producer Rob Show, behind the glass for good reason. How are you, Haney?
Outstanding. Living the dream.
Yeah. I figure I better inform you on a couple of things here. Just so you're at this, home. I need
yeah,
to...
Is this in regard to any issues with my lawn or anything like that?
No.
Has that all been taken care of to your satisfaction?
The palm frond was taken to the curb, and I picked up my surprise, and we're all good.
Now, were you going to bring the trash cans up?
I most certainly was. I was looking for them.
Yeah, well, sorry to disappoint you. There was nothing there but your surprise.
Yeah. I got to inform you a couple of things. Today here at Broadcast House, there have been discussions, meetings, decision-making, staying within CDC guidelines.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't involve me, that's great.
Well, it might. It might. I'm giving you fair warning. I guess starting next week, they may start letting employees back into the building only to 25% capacity, according to Governor Ron DeSantis's rules.
No.
But there are things that are going to be... There are things that are going to be permanently changed when you do come back, which for you, the good news is for you, it's going to be at least another week before you have to come back. Because
at least.
I'm telling you, it's closer to 2 weeks than it is forever. There's only going to be one exit to enter the building.
What?
And that's in the front. Where you park in the back, that's all going to be locked down. So if you choose to go out back to smoke, you're going to have to walk to the front of the building. And because you left the building, you're going to have your temperature taken when you walk back into the building to come into the studio.
I've got a fever.
And it's every time you come back in the building. Now, you have a general idea of how the building is mapped out.
Poorly, yes.
There are going to be one-way paths
to all
areas of the building. You must go in the direction. I believe they're working on a counterclockwise position, except in the center of the building where there'll be almost like a roundabout where you can make a big circle and go in another direction. but it's only one direction during the in the front and back hallways, so that if you do by some chance go out the back door and prop it open and leave it to come back in, you will not be able to walk directly to the studio. You'll have to follow the CDC guidelines of the path that will take you up through the front lobby again and then back down the other way into the studio.
You know, it seems to me that those that can work from home should work from home.
So I'm just going to leave it. Temperature checks, one entrance, and you're going to follow a floor plan that I think Richard and Adam, the operations director, are going to glue to the carpet.
Okay, well, that means I'm going to have to hop on Amazon and order a couple of what I like to call heat-em-ups to put on my forehead.
And I was told, don't worry about next week. You're probably not going to be asked to come in next week.
I'm not going back.
But this is to keep everybody safe.
Especially not with that kind of nonsense.
Everybody safe and staying within CDC guidelines.
You see what you have there now, Stan? You have the people that like to follow rules.
Yeah.
But they also like to make rules.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing. If you do come back here and you're over in your station, and I know how you keep your styrofoam cup there and it gets a little condensation buildup, you are required to sanitize your area, even if you're the only one using it. And if you are not if you're not sanitizing your area and you're caught, you'll be written up. This is all to get back to a new normal.
Now, we've all had a good laugh. At what point do you tell me that you've made this up?
I'd like to tell you I've made it up. I thought when I was told this that it was a joke. It's not a joke.
Because it seems like a joke.
It does, doesn't it? That's
not it. It seems like something we would have dreamed up to inconvenience people.
But that's the way it's going to be. So your best bet when you do come back to the radio station.
So if I'm walking the wrong way, I could get a ticket.
Yes. And when you do come back to the radio station, they're suggesting that you and all employees, unless you want to walk, park up front and you go into the building through the main entrance and temperature check.
No.
So... It's all a part of getting things back to normal.
That is nothing remotely normal.
I got to take a break now.
I wasn't crazy about the idea of coming back and having everything the way it was. Yeah. This is,
cuckoo. Good. You don't have to worry about next week. You're fine. You'll be where you are next week. It's when they're going to start bringing them and...
Stan, I'm sorry, but I've been advised to shelter in place.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
You bastard.
Why are you blaming me? I'm just...
Because you are like the Cheshire Cat passing that along.
Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
It can be set to remind Mom when her favorite program is on the air. And now, another chapter in the lives of...
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Coming up here in just a second, we'll have Stan's audio grab bag for you. We've got a few other things, local beat. I've got a fantastic clip of a horse race. You know, Haney, that they're running the horses, but there are no fans. You can walk,
no,
there's nobody there.
Are they even doing stakes races? I know there's no Derby.
No Derby, none of the Triple Crown races. I know that tracks that are operating with no fans.
Then we have an entire year worth of three-year-olds that never get to run.
Correct.
I mean, not in the big ones.
Right. And I got a nice call for you coming up on that one. We're going to give you a chance to win in about an hour. Remember yesterday when Haney and I were talking to Joe, and we told them back in our day, a lot of stuff went on in this studio.
Yeah.
And today I'm going to give you a chance to win. I've got, and we've done this kind of before, but not like this. I've got 10 things that have happened in this studio, four of which are absolutely true. Six are either little white lies or not true. And
or only partially
or
true.
Or only correct. And if you identify the true thing that happened during the Stan and Haney show, you'll get yourself a prize. That'll be coming up later on. Also, 4 o'clock safe word.
And in the next break, I don't want to interrupt the grab bag or anything, but I think we've been taking ourselves for granted, and I'd like to point some things out.
All right, we'll do it next break. Let's do the grab bag right now. Great news. It's brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, and I was just handed this. The Pewter Mug North is open. They're doing the...
God bless them.
They're doing the 25% capacity according to government rules. The Pewter Mug is now open from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Yes, you should still make a reservation.
Even more so.
Those worried about the salad bar, their famous salad bar, if you want to use it, you got to wear gloves. Or if you're still uneasy about it, your server will make a salad for you. They've got, I'm looking at their menu, the prime rib is all there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a limited menu. They got the prime rib. They're still doing curbside pickup or delivery through Bite Squad or Uber Eats, but they're open.
They make a great point. You know, it's not like everything's perfectly okay all of a sudden. It's baby steps.
Yep, baby steps.
And they're right. With only 25% capacity, you better make that reservation.
Yep. Bring the music down just a touch. Yeah. So we're not fighting over it. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Prime rib, the best prime rib there is available. Dinner only, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Pewter Mug North. Hey, let's do another quarantine, shall we?
Wouldn't it be nice if we could go out, didn't have to wear this stupid mask, have the time to spend with friends and family, go to see a concert, what a blast. Getting fat and getting bored is trending, this isolation is just never ending, it's really not so nice. Maybe if we think and wish and hope a cure might come through. Run, Fauci, run. Then there wouldn't be a single thing we couldn't do.
We could go shopping.
We could go shopping.
Then we'd be happy.
Then we'd be happy.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice?
You know, it seems the more we talk about it, it only makes it worse to live without it. But let's talk about it. Oh, wouldn't it be nice?
Wash your hands, my baby. Wear your mask, my baby.
Ah, what a toe tapper, huh? Yes, sir. Well, our quarantine for today. Haney told you about them before anybody else. Now it's all over the news. Murder hornets.
Have you seen this, Stan?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How long ago did I tell you about it?
At least a week and a half ago.
And now all of a sudden everybody else is on the bandwagon. Yep. Congratulations, you heard it here first.
Yep, and here's another first for you. Yes, we've got an exclusive interview with the Murder Hornets. Please, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show, the Murder Hornets.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hush, hush.
Murder? First of all, no proof on that yet.
Falsely accused.
The news says our stinger is so long it can sting a beekeeper through his suit. Yeah, anything in here about any murdered beekeepers?
I don't see anything. Nothing.
Nope. Don't get us wrong. We got a long stinger.
We're big.
Yeah.
Can't judge a guy on the size of his stinger.
No. Sure, we're big, but does that make us guilty of murder?
Mm-mm.
I mean, not getting any press. Our indecent exposure hornets.
Breaking and entering hornets.
Drunk driving hornets.
Assault and battery hornets.
And, of course, the least successful hornet of them all. Attempted murder hornet.
Not getting the job done.
But you don't read about them.
Nothing.
All we're asking is the next time you see a giant 2-inch hornet with fearsome eyes, a giant stinger, don't be so quick to judge, America. You could really kill our buzz.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Now, when it comes to bad puns, guilty.
As charged.
By the way, we're not even close.
Long way to go.
Relax, people. Simmer down.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. Haney, Rob just popped up a video. Did you see the video of the murder hornet taking down like a field mouse?
Yes. Is that glorious or what?
It's unbelievable.
Boy, you know what? If people didn't believe me about the murder hornets, post that video. Hear me now. Believe me later.
That is so disturbing. It's a full-grown rodent being taken down by a murder hornet.
Now, and the terrible thing is, The murder hornet gains nothing from that encounter.
Nope.
It killed a full-grown mouse and then just flew off.
Yeah, killed because it wanted to.
For sport.
Yep. Jeez.
And, I mean, this is an insect, and it's wrestling with a mammal.
Yep.
You would think that would be no contest.
Murder hornet wins.
Easily. The mouse couldn't even defend itself. And they're wrestling.
Yeah, well.
It's a bug.
Yeah.
They're wrestling.
Bug wins. Everybody, because of this corona, is ordering online food.
We got to put that video up if we have it.
I'm looking at it. He'll get it. Food, drinks, even essential footwear and clothing, all being bought online. And it's becoming the preferred thing to do. People are getting used to it.
Well, that's what you had Bezos on the grab bag yesterday saying, yeah, exactly,
yep.
That's what we want.
Had Kmart only known. Back in 2013, Kmart had a brilliant ad campaign to get people to buy their pants online. In other words, ship my pants. And it was a great idea, but back in 2013, that idea bombed. Here you go.
Ship my pants? Right here? Ship my pants? You're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants, too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants, and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Yep, great idea. Totally bombed for Kmart.
How is that possible, that kind of brilliance?
I have no idea, but it was brilliant. This is good. And think about this. This fits perfectly. Somebody synced up an RPG battle hymn with a caterwauling dog, and it's perfect. The music ends when the dog's owner starts talking. This is brilliant.
This is how lines work, Walter. You can't just go to the front because you're Walter Jeffrey. That's not what it is. You know, you're not even popular here in Austin, Texas, to be honest. So you need to humble yourself, and we can wait in line.
What does that look like? That, like a Boston Terrier.
That dog may save us all.
Yep. Yeah, she's gossiping a little bit, a little chatty, but a girl who worked at Disneyland, she's an ex-employee now at Disneyland, went online and told everybody, you know, a lot of celebrities go to Disneyland and they need the special attention. And she went and discussed celebrities that were just 100% divas, others that she liked very much. In this first clip, you're going to hear her refer to a couple of monsters that were just plain jerks. In the second clip, she reveals who they are. But here she talks about the good people and the bad people that had visited Disneyland while she worked there.
Will Ferrell was the very first celebrity I met at my very first shift at Disneyland when I worked at the Haunted Mansion, and he is very cool, a very nice man. Jason Derulo does not know lyrics to Christmas songs, and he had to write the lyrics on his hand, and it was kind of embarrassing. Can confirm that Mark Wahlberg is just as handsome in person as he is in photographs, and he is also a very nice man. Nicolas Cage is creepy. He looks like a vampire, he looks like he glows in the dark, and he was a little weird. And these people are awful. I had to deal with both of them separately. She is an absolute diva, and he is an absolute diva. And I hope that no cast member has to deal with these monsters ever again.
Who were those monsters?
J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
Good guess. Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon.
I'll start with Mariah Carey. So she's a diva. We all know it. She loves to say it. And I've heard it from many cast members. It's not just me. So sorry. She's just rude. She's just not very friendly. She's, you know, not that great. And I love her. And I was really sad about that. Nick Cannon, on the other hand, has zero excuse to be a diva because you're Nick Cannon. So he was taping a Christmas parade for ABC, and he was backstage with his little entourage of people, and he was basically like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't even breathe in my direction. He was just being extra and bougie, and I was not a fan, and like, you're Nick Cannon. You're not that special, okay?
Oh, you tell it, girl.
Yeah, girlfriend.
This is pretty cool. Brian Johnson of AC/DC auditioned for the position of lead singer in the band in 1980. He also at the time still had to earn a living. So as he's auditioning to go into AC/DC...
and record one of the most successful albums of all time.
He took $700 to do a Hoover vacuum cleaner commercial. Here you go.
Stan, you gotta eat.
Yep. Brian Johnson singing for Hoover vacuums.
The new hot powered compact from Hoover. It's a beautiful mover. The new compact does more than beat. It also cleans, it also sweeps, and brushes right to the edge. Right to the edge. Changing a bag as easy as ABC. The new high-power compact mover. It's a beautiful mover.
Yeah.
Brian Man, Johnson. I want to hear the album version.
Yeah. Hank
He's
Azaria.
That good. He's Hank, that good.
Yes, he is. Hank Azaria, who's been a guest on this show, does a lot of the voices on The Simpsons. Here, he was on Conan the other night and gave you a couple of examples. These are Simpson voices that Hank Azaria does not like doing.
Yeah, Mo, yeah, it's raspy. So if you talk like this for too long, eventually you're gonna shred yourself. And yeah. If Mo's screaming, then you really got to. I got to save the screaming for the end. Like, Duffman will blow me out in a second. I have to save Duffman. For the end, and I actually dread it. Like, oh no, I got a lot of tough man to do today. It actually does hurt. I'm not complaining.
And what voice does Hank Azaria like to do on The Simpsons?
The one I enjoy the most, Conan, my friend, is Professor Frank. It's, to me, it's the vocal equivalent of a peanut. I cannot stop once I start. If I get going, I simply cannot stop. It annoys the gadoodles out of my wife.
You can't be depressed making that. I think that's what it is. It's like a natural mood elevator. If you're down and you start talking this way, it's very difficult to remain depressed. Try it at home.
That's basically him impersonating Jerry Lewis.
What was the name of the mayor of Springfield?
Quimby? Like, Mayor Quimby?
But isn't it like Diamond Joe Quimby?
Diamond Jim Quimby or something like that? Yeah. Yep. The grab bag has been brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. They're open. You got to make a reservation, 25% capacity, but they're open. When we come back, we'll have the local beat for you. Haney's got a few things he wants to say. But when we come back, I've got a call of a horse race that's spectacular. And we'll do
I love the call of a horse race. It's so exciting.
This one's pretty good. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group. And we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Wednesday afternoon. And coming up here, give you a little, it goes for about a minute and 20 seconds, a little horse race. We'll have the local beat, your phone calls. Haney, I know you got a few things to say as well, but I got to get this in today, and I got to try to get it in right now. I was asked
That's
to read this.
That's what she said?
Yep. Healthcare workers and first responders get a free lunch at participating Florida 7-Eleven stores tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. as part of the company's effort to thank them for their service. Stores will have signage indicating their participation and lunch options. Customers simply show their work ID to claim their free lunch with thanks for their tireless work during the pandemic. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 7-Elevens throughout Florida. Have your work ID, but they want to reward healthcare people with a free lunch. So that's pretty cool. That'll be tomorrow.
Oh, that's a nice thing.
Yep. So I came across this, and of course they're still doing horse races. But,
so my segment's been canceled because of the 7-Eleven thing? Or?
No.
Because you said you got to get that in.
Yeah, and then let me do the first
segment.
Race, then you do your
segment,
thing.
And it got dropped? Or?
No, it's not dropped yet. It's just been pushed back. somebody, I'll bet he's a track announcer, took some footage of a turf race. An actual turf race, and decided to do what he calls the coronavirus horse race. And it's really good, very well thought out. Here you go, coming out of the gates, the big horse race, the coronavirus horse race.
And they're off. Out of the gate, it's coronavirus, followed closely behind by Wuhan-style lockdown. On the outside, it's global pandemic, working hard against flatten the curve. Social distancing got off to a slow start, but he's now neck and neck with flatten the curve. On the inside, it's just a little flu, followed by trust the experts. As they pass the quarter pole, 18 months vaccine is working hard to get past Plaquenil. Dr. Fauci is three lengths back of the leaders. Stimulus plan is trying to squeeze by PPE as they enter the backstretch, but out on the outside, here comes economic shutdown. Open by Easter gets bumped a little bit by Dr. Fauci. Flatten the curve and economic shutdown are battling it out as they head past the half-mile pole. Distance learning stumbled out of the gate, and it looks like he won't be able to get back into it. Not his day-to-day, folks. They are moving at a brisk pace and all clustered together except for my bank account, which is way back of the pack. He might be injured. They might have to pull him up. Toilet paper is nowhere to be seen. He's lost in the pack. As they head into the far turn, it's social distancing still in the lead, but Daily Briefing is lurking 1.5 lengths back. It's a tremendous race, folks. I've never seen anything like it. And now, Cure Worse Than the Disease is starting to make his move. As they enter the top of the stretch, Cabin Fever is charging hard, but social distancing is holding him off. Economic Shutdown is still looking strong, and he's nose-to-nose with Cure Worse Than the Disease. And on the inside, here comes Dr. Fauci, and down the stretch they come. It's social distancing and Economic Shutdown now neck and neck. I don't believe it. Dr. Fauci is trying to keep pace, and with 1 furlong to go, it's Economic Shutdown, social distancing, and Dr. Fauci. And as they come to the wire, it's... oh my God, it's no one f***ing knows by a head. Oh, an incredible race, folks. 11-7-12 trifecta pays 117.39.
Yep, I'm cashing a ticket.
Yeah, if he's not a pro, he should be.
He should be. Yeah, out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, nobody effing knows.
Well, listeners of this show, that's no surprise. No. We've told you that from the beginning.
Yep, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Which is exactly what I wanted to talk about very briefly. Listeners of this show get the real information, Stan.
We try. Usually it's unfiltered, and it's the truth as we see it, and I think it is the truth.
And it is usually long before you hear about it anywhere else. For instance, I won't dwell on it, but if you're inclined, look into the strange goings-on in the case of General Flynn. You knew that years ago.
Yep.
When this thing that we're dealing with now, the Corona, started. We told you it's no mystery about the lab in Wuhan.
Yep.
We told you where it came from. Nobody wanted to believe it, but now it's become fact. And finally, murder hornets.
Yep.
For the past 48 hours, you could not turn around without hearing something about murder hornets. But if you listen to this show, you already knew all about it.
Yeah.
And there are many other things, but I just was thinking about that.
Yeah.
It's we talk about stuff, and then 2 weeks later, the whole world is talking about it.
The latest thing to come out about this virus, and I saw a lot about it last night, and you think it's a bad term. It's actually a good term. The scientists are now finding that this virus is mutating. And what that basically means, you know, you hear the word mutating. Well, what? Is there going to be several other different strains of this? And are we all doomed? No. Scientists are now seeing, because it's not really having a chance to latch on and kill the millions and millions that it was supposed to, these viruses are smart. And it is mutating, but in doing so becomes much weaker. And scientists who are studying this now say the virus is mutating, and if you do get it in a few months and you might be exposed to it, it is going to be a lot less devastating. You're going to be able to get it over it fairly easily, and that it will eventually go away. They are seeing signs of it starting to mutate right now.
Well, there could be another explanation, Stan.
Yes, there could be.
And my understanding is that what the bat people in Wuhan were specifically looking at...
Your headphones are loud.
No, it's not the headphones. My phone was buzzing, and I removed it from the table.
Anything important?
Nah, it's a prank call.
Okay.
But the what the bat people in Wuhan were working on was supposed to be an HIV vaccine. And when they first were able to look at this virus, and I think it was doctors in Italy and the specialists there looking at it.
Yeah.
That it did appear to be an altered virus. And this doctor, the reporter's going, well, how do you think that it's altered? He said, because something in this virus, it's been spliced together with something to do with HIV. Now, they were working on an HIV virus. Now, whether it was a lab accident and saying, oh, well, there was no malice, it was a mistake. The fact is, they were manipulating this virus to be more deadly to humans, where it was better able to infect a human being. That was going on. That's documented. And what I have seen, because you know how I read single-spaced, unredacted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you may be seeing this virus mutate, and the guy, the scientist seemed pretty sure about this too. He said, when things like this get out into the wild, it's a mechanism we don't understand. But nature cannot stand something that has been unnaturally manipulated. And that nature will attack and bring it back to what it's supposed to be.
Don't we, and then we'll do the local beat here. I just got one thing, and Annie, you know this, and we've said it before for years. People, the global warming, oh, the ice age. Mother Nature always wins. Always wins.
Oh, yeah. Undefeated.
We're in the history of this globe are just a little speck on the eye of a needle in the time span of this planet. Mother Nature always wins.
We still don't understand fully the mechanisms that run the Earth and the universe. I doubt we ever will.
Yep, but Mother Nature always wins. Let's
because if one of these wise guys just tried to design a shrub, I'm sure there'd be something wrong with it.
Local beat, we take a look at local news that you don't get on a national basis, something that happens right here. And as a little footnote before I get into the true local beat story, this is making the wires now, and it's even nationally on United Press International. Florida researchers have started to study how hemp plants can battle that toxic algae blooms that we've been battling for so long. They're finding out that hemp, marijuana plants grown in a lab, can actually clean up algae blooms.
Do you know there has been so much made about the legalization of marijuana and the social aspects, and should people be allowed to get high? The real crime with all of this is that plant has been outlawed for so long that we don't know half of what this thing can do, and
yep,
most of it doesn't have anything to do with getting high.
Correct.
But we have hobbled ourselves because of that judgment.
Yep. This story, what do we know about women, Haney?
Well, it's something we learned a long, long time ago, and we learned it the hard way. All women are crazy.
Yep. And here's an example. Dateline Cape Coral. Headline reads, Cape Coral woman armed with a rock and rage arrested for occupied burglary. This woman is...
What is going on with the women in Cape Coral? We had one all barricaded up, taking pot shots.
Dateline Cape Coral, a Cape Coral woman armed with a rock in pure rage is accused of destroying her neighbor's garage door. This is coming to us from NBC2. Cape Coral police officers arrested Hannah Holder, age 27, for occupied burglary, criminal mischief, and for violating the terms of her probation.
Oh,
it happened on Monday night. Reports of a burglary in progress in the 100 block of Southwest 49th Street. Oh, by the way, is that anywhere near you, Rob? Southwest 49th, it's not your house, is it?
He's not good with numbers.
I'm not. I had to go back and think. I've been living there a year. I'm like, oh, what street do I live on? It's a few blocks over. It's close.
It's
yeah.
Near? Okay. Okay. Reports of a burglary in progress in the 100 block of Southwest 49th Street rang into dispatch on Monday night. The caller said Ms. Holder was agitated when she entered the house using the front door. She picked up a large rock and started damaging the garage door. The caller also said that Ms. Holder came back into the house after breaking a window. She walked through the house for a while and eventually left through the front door.
Well, what the hell did she want?
Nobody knows! When officers arrived on the scene, they saw Ms. Holder outside of a house with a damaged garage door. She was still at the residence. There she is outside. Yep, that's her right next to the damaged garage door. That's when she was placed under arrest. During the investigation, a routine background check showed that the 27-year-old had an active warrant for violation of probation. Her mugshot is readily available. I hope Rob will be posting it on our Facebook page. And if that picture of her doesn't say C-R-A-Z-Y, crazy, nothing else will. And nobody says what she was all enraged about. Where'd you go? He got cut off. We're going to have to try to reconnect with him. And why do I think somebody in the back room did it? It has nothing to do with Haney. Somebody in the back room did it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win. I've got 10 things that have happened in this studio on the Stan and Haney Show, four of which are true. But Rob, it's them. It's not Haney. It's somebody did something, right?
Richard's suggestion, he just threw his hands up in the air and said, tell him to reconnect.
All right, we'll be back. Play the game. Give you a chance to win. Give Haney a chance to reconnect. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Some see the glass as half empty. Others see it as half full. We simply see rum. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Well, hey there, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Haney, are you there? No. Richard, you're going to have to go over to Haney's house. Stan and Haney here. Haney was disconnected. Richard's told me he broke the cable. As soon as he can get a new cable to start broadcasting again, we'll be all set. You are about 22 minutes away from a 4 o'clock safe word that can get you $500 in cash. We will do that again at 4 o'clock. Another chance to pick up, if you're lucky enough to be our company-wide winner, of $500 with the Money Shot Contest. So that'll be coming up in just a short period of time. Also, a half hour away from your first look at traffic news headlines. Cross our fingers with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Rob, if you can pipe through some background music for me while I do this game, just find something nice and, a little upbeat, a little something that, swings a little bit, and we can play the game. I've got 10. Sure. Sure. That'll work just fine. Yeah. Really know how to find them. Let me put phones on lockdown. And then we'll do this. I've got 10 things. Haney and I were talking yesterday to Rob. A lot of stuff has happened in this studio for the good and for the bad while we have been on the air. I've got 10 things I'm going to read off to you, four of which actually happened during the Stan and Haney show on the air. Six did not. If you answer correctly, so we're going to have four winners, hopefully. If you answer correctly, we've got $50 to the Pewter Mug. They are open again, 25% capacity, so they ask for reservations. And they're going to be open dinner only, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. They still Hey, Haney!
Yeah.
Hey, there you are. What did you do?
I fixed it.
Good man. Rob, you can, I'll have Haney put the music on. Thank you. I had Rob. He did a great selection of music.
That was good music. Yeah. Why not stick with that?
No, I don't want to. I want to use my regular music.
Oh, you want your theme.
Yes. But I appreciate Rob stepping up to the plate. He said he fixed it, Richard. How are you connected? Are you connected all right? Does Richard need to go over there to eyeball it?
No, I'm on the regular connection. It's fine.
He said he's on the regular connection and it's fine.
Okay, he had to reboot his router.
Yeah, well, he's good. It sounds as better as ever, Richard. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I tried to do an emergency fix and that didn't work.
No, yeah, you sound as good as ever. So good. I'm glad you're back. Welcome back, Haney.
It's good to be back, Stan.
Yep, no problem. Okay.
To that same old place that I left about.
Ten things, four of which are true. You can choose $50 to the Pewter Mug. I'm willing to give up four of them today. If you'd like a K-Rock poncho, if you'd like biker goggles from BC Wholesale in Cape Coral, we'll switch it out for you. But I'm willing to give up four Pewter Mug today. I'm going to read off the 10 things. Four of which actually happened here during the Stan and Haney show. Here we go. Here's all 10. Pick one as you're listening to me do this and say, that one happened.
And I don't know what's on your list, Dan, but it's a long history.
It is a long history, Haney, and I left things off of this list purposely so that maybe if it goes well enough, we can play the game again. So I've barely scratched the surface.
Well,
on
and
these.
Some of these things we aren't allowed to access until 2 years after the person is deceased.
Yeah, and they're all stored at the University of Delaware.
Try getting to them now.
Yep. Here you go. Four of these are true. Number one, police arrested a guest while being interviewed on this very show. In studio, police came in and arrested him. Number two, I, Stan, was attacked by two police canine dogs. Number three, Haney got into an all-out fist fight with an insubordinate producer. Number four, a Florida panther ate raw meat off of Stan's bare chest. A lot of it. Number five, two fully naked lesbian strippers got it on right here in the studio. And yes, toys involved. We've matured since then. We were working blue then.
Well, it was demanded.
Yep. Number six. A small fire broke out in the studio's garbage pail. I remember this very well. It got so bad we actually had to call the fire department in because it was going up the side of the console wall.
And that was the end of somebody's career.
Yep. Two fruit bats with a wingspan of over 5 feet each were released here in the Stan and Haney studio and flew into the radio station's attic. We had to get professionals to remove them. Number eight. Someone actually tried to poison us with tainted food brought to the studio. The person has never been caught, claiming to be some kind of baked dish. Number nine, a supposed trained squirrel monkey attacked me unprovoked. And number 10, Haney was questioned by federal authorities immediately following the show based on information he actually broadcast on the radio. We were doing a regular newscast. Somebody was waiting for us.
Stan, I thought some of these were supposed to be false.
Again, I didn't give a lot of details. So, police arrest a guest in the studio while being interviewed. Stan attacked by police canine dogs. Haney, all-out fist fight with an insubordinate producer. A Florida panther eating raw meat off my chest. Two fully naked lesbian strippers got it on here in the studio, toys involved. A small fire breaking out right here in the studio's garbage pail got so bad we had to call the fire department. Two fruit bats with a wingspan of over 5 feet each released here in the studio, flew into the station's attic. Somebody actually tried to poison us with tainted food in the studio and brought it by, never been caught. A trained squirrel monkey attacked me unprovoked.
Yeah, thank God for us. Richard got a hold of that food before we did.
Yeah. Didn't hurt him.
No, as they say, it would have killed us, but yeah. Richard, he was fine.
I'm going to release the phones. Four of those are actually true. Pick one of the true things that happened here on the show, and you're going to get yourself a choice of $50 to the pewter mug, biker goggles from BC Wholesale in Cape Coral, K-Rock ponchos. La-da-da-dee. Just bring the music down a touch, Haney, as we go to the calls. Ahoy, who's this? Oh. Ahoy, who's this?
This is JR.
JR, how are you, Jar?
Pretty good.
Can you guess which one of these 10 statements is true? There's four of them that are right.
Number 10?
Do you remember what that was? Is that the one where Haney was questioned by federal authorities?
Yes, sir.
That did not happen. It may have. We just don't know about it. But, and again, there's a gray area in some of these. Not to our knowledge. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello?
Okay, I hear two people. Is there two people I'm talking to?
No, I just got the phone passed to me. He's like, answer.
Oh. Does he know but you don't? Or how is this working out?
No. He calls all the time, and I don't ever get to talk to him.
Oh, but you think you know the answer to one of these?
I absolutely do.
All right, what is it?
Number one.
Police arrested a guest while being interviewed on the Stan and Haney show?
Yes.
Did not happen. Did not happen.
Well, technically.
Technically. Now, hold on. And this is why there's a lot of caveats to this. Has somebody in this building, while on the air, been arrested? And we helped things? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. But in this studio, at that moment, no. We were on the air, and yes, law enforcement was brought in, and we actually saw somebody.
We witnessed it.
Yep. But technically, and again, that's why I'm saying gray area around here. On our show, while a guest was being interviewed, on our show, on our radio station.
I don't know that I've ever laughed so hard in my life.
That was funny, and it wasn't a guest.
And it wasn't a gag, you know, like lock up a DJ for charity.
No.
This was legit.
Yep. And it wasn't a guest. So, look, two down right off the bat. Still four correct answers. So it's a 50-50 shot. There are 8 left. 4 actually happened. In case you didn't hear them all, these are the ones still available. Stan was attacked by 2 police canine dogs. Haney got into an all-out fist fight with an insubordinate producer. A Florida panther ate raw meat off of Stan's bare chest. 2 fully naked lesbian strippers got it on right here in the studio. Toys involved. A small fire broke out in the studio's garbage pail. It got so bad, well, we had to call the fire department. 2 fruit bats with a wingspan of over 5 feet each were released and flew into the station's attic. Someone actually tried to poison us with tainted food. Person was never caught. And a trained squirrel monkey attacked me unprovoked. That's what's left. 2 tries at it so far. Nobody's gotten one right. Let's go again. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brad.
You know, what do you do with the prizes you win on this show?
Put them to good use.
All right, if you put them to good use. Name one of the things I just said that truly happened here in the studio.
Oh, there's been fires in the studio pail before.
Where we had to call the fire department?
Yes.
That's incorrect. Again, a gray area. We had a DJ, a K-Rock DJ here, who used to like to go out back and throw lit cigarettes into the garbage pail to prop the door open. That caught on fire and nearly destroyed the entranceway to the radio station. But it did not happen in the studio.
Oh, my God. Do you know what that reminds me of?
What?
You remember that day when the 3 of us all got fire extinguishers and went nuts?
Yeah, wasn't it great?
Yeah, we got in big trouble.
Yep. So let me tell you something right now. The odds are with you that you're going to win. 7 left, 4 actually happened. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Mason.
Mason, what happened in this studio during the Stan and Haney show?
Haney had to put down a producer.
That is incorrect. Haney did not have an all-out fist fight with a producer.
A producer had an all-out fist fight with me, but I wasn't involved because I just.
It was not a fist fight. He squared off. It was Haney did not have an all-out fist fight with a producer. Haney merely threw him through the wall.
I didn't allow it to escalate to that point.
Haney threw him through the wall. But that, as far as clenched fists and fist hitting jaw, hitting gut, it did not happen.
I don't know. I think you should have given it to him because he had every intention of doing that.
He did. But I say in the statement, an all-out fist fight.
That's what he was looking for.
But it didn't happen because you threw him through a wall.
He was disabled.
Yeah, quickly. Boy, oh boy, we're going to get to the point where we're going to have nothing but winners in a row here. Here's what's left. 2 police canine dogs attacked me. A Florida panther ate raw meat off my bare chest. 2 fully naked lesbian strippers got it on right here in the studio. Toys involved. 2 very large fruit bats with a wingspan of over 5 feet each were released and they flew into the station's attic. We had to get professionals to take them out.
You know, I'm noticing a theme where Stan is the victim a lot.
That's usually the case. I haven't gotten into a few others. Not on today's list. Someone actually tried to poison Stan and Haney with tainted food. The person was never caught. And a trained squirrel monkey attacked Stan unprovoked. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, ahoy, this is Larry.
Larry, what happened?
I gotta go with the bat.
Yeah, that happened. You better believe it happened. Our friend Jeff Hornsby brought in, they were as big as cats, giant fruit bats. Their wingspan was like bigger than an eagle's. And they got out of the cage and flew into our attic. 2 of them. Absolutely happened. What would you like?
That's wild. $200, please.
Yeah. Hold on.
And think about this. Luckily, it all died down. But we were threatened with being fired over these things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I remember that day when we were called into the offices to explain about the bats. And all I could think was, okay, we're going to need to get another job. They're going to ask us, well, what happened? Why didn't things work out with K-Rock? Well, we had these fruit bats, and, well, they're not your normal fruit bat. They're a giant fruit, as big as a cat, and, well, there was a mishap.
Yep. They found one pretty quickly. The other one was up there for a while.
for a week.
It was up there a long time. That's all I remember.
I know it was at least a week.
and freaked everybody out. Ahoy, who's this?
Office girls didn't like it a bit.
Ahoy. Oh, your phone is god-awful.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much. What's your name?
Tia.
Tia?
Yes.
What do you think happened?
I think you got attacked by a squirrel monkey.
I did.
You did?
I did.
I did. I knew it was.
That happened.
You can see that, can't you?
I totally can. Absolutely. And I believe I've heard you guys talk about it, too.
Oh, we've talked about all of these things that have actually happened.
But you really have it down. Well, you got to get it to the nitty-gritty.
Tia, what would you like?
I'll do the pewter mug. Right. That's so.
Yep. Hold on. There was a guy, this was probably about 20 years ago, who used to go around to every event we had and would try to get on every show so that we would talk about him because he walked around with a spider monkey or a squirrel monkey.
He had this little monkey named Flash.
And he was in the studio and, he's perfectly trained. He had a little neck leash on him. And I'm standing here minding my own business and I'm looking at him. He makes eye contact with me, starts showing his teeth, and lunged at my neck. The guy had to pull him off me, and the thing was screaming and uncontrollable. And he's going, he never acts like this.
Now you bring out the best in people and animals, Stan.
All right, we're going to try one more, and then I'm going to go over the list because we're not going to get to all of them.
And I remember you admonishing the monkey, going, did that bring you pleasure? Yeah. Is that what you want?
Yep. I said, just get the damn thing away from me. I don't want nothing to do with it. Vicious little creature. Take your eye right out. All right, here we go. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Fred.
Fred, what do you think happened? What really happened?
I think you really got attacked by two canines.
I did. Awesome. I did. What would you like?
They were hanging off your arms like drapes.
Yep. What would you like,
buddy? Can I get a pewter mug, please?
Yep. Hold on. The sheriff's department.
Oh, you won't even feel it, Stan.
The sheriff's department wanted to go and demonstrate the effectiveness of their canine unit.
They're highly effective.
Highly effective is right. They put me in some kind of asbestos suit. And we brought the remote mics outside, and I stuffed the remote mic down the suit, and the one cop tells me, run. And I start running in this big, like, mummy suit, and I'm running, and he released the German Shepherds on me. One got me in the leg. One got me in the arm. They would not let loose, and the suit did not prevent me from being bruised. My arm was bruised. My leg was bruised. And they did it several times for laughs.
Yes. And I think the first time they did it, one of those dogs took you down like he was Jack Lambert.
Tackled me.
Square to the chest. Yep. Yeah, right to the ground.
Here's the list. A lot of you didn't get some of them. You got all the ones that didn't happen. Police arrested a guest while being interviewed on the Stan and Haney show. Didn't happen. Yes, I was attacked by police canine dogs. Haney threw our producer through a wall. It was not an all-out fist fight. Yes, a Florida Panther ate raw meat off my chest. No, there were no two fully naked lesbian strippers getting it on in the studio with toys. Far worse happened in real life.
Yeah. It's not to say there weren't two lesbian strippers, just that particular scenario.
There was no fire that broke out while we were on the air in the garbage pail. Yes, the fruit bats.
But there was a fire.
Yes.
And,
no one, to our knowledge, again, to our knowledge, tried to poison us. The squirrel monkey attacked me, and Haney was not questioned by federal authorities. Stay right by your radio.
Not officially.
Seconds away from the 4 o'clock safe word, we're Stan and Haney.
A lot of people ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get in his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us. You still have about 2.5 minutes to get the 4 o'clock safe word in. If you did not hear it at 4 o'clock, you got about 2.5 minutes. The safe word is cross. C-R-O-S-S. Enter that word right now at 96krock.com, the K-Rock app, or text the safe word cross to 45911. You got about 2 minutes to do it. And just by entering on our website or mobile app, you're in the running for the grand prize of $10,000. Cross, C-R-O-S-S. Here with my friend Mark Haney, who had a little blip, but he's back 100% broadcasting power, poolside at his lovely home. And
right here in Palatial Estates.
Yep. And he's going to have news headlines for you here in just a second. 4 o'clock fluffer, we're going to check your emails as well. But first, let's get us updated here on traffic. Your first look at traffic this afternoon. A little busy to start the afternoon. First off, Fort Myers crash. State Road 82 at Golden Palms Circle. Fort Myers crash, Alico Road and Three Oaks Parkway. In Estero, got a crash, the 200 block of South Tamiami Trail. And in Lehigh Acres, crash being reported, Lee Boulevard and Gunnery Road North. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's going to tell you right now. He's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. Well, you heard about it on this show first quite some time ago. Who's laughing?
Sorry, I hit a wrong button.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
You heard about it on this show long ago, but in the past 48 hours, you can't turn any channel on the TV or anything without hearing about the murder hornets.
Yep.
We have the latest.
I saw that video of a murder hornet taking down a full-grown mouse.
And they were wrestling around.
Yeah, but the mouse was losing.
It just is, it's bothersome to me that an insect can take down a mammal like that.
Yep.
That's not the natural order of things.
No,
insects,
sir.
You're supposed to be able to squash them like a bug.
See, there, I would get a great satisfaction if they could go and harness up, like, say, 20 or 30 of these things, and I can step on them and squish them.
Well, who knows? With their venom, it might eat through your shoes.
Yeah. I just want to be able to say, Stan wins.
You got to wonder what it would be like to have true juice in this world.
You talking about the true power?
Yes. You know who has it?
Who?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Yeah, well, Scientology has a lot to do with that.
There were rumors going around that Tom Cruise was going to film a movie in space. And everybody said, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's been confirmed.
Yeah.
NASA says Tom Cruise will make a movie on the International Space Station. No, it's not a documentary. It is an action-adventure film.
How old is he? He's in his 60s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's older than I am.
He's got to be up there. Rob, how old is Tom Cruise? This guy has got to... He's
57 years old.
57. Jeez.
Yeah, he's like your age.
Yeah, thank you. What, Rob?
Worth $570 million.
Yep. And two-thirds
that
of that goes
nothing.
To the church.
Nothing. Michael Jordan is worth $2.1 billion.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. Police are hunting for an aggressive chicken... It's been harassing people.
Oh, they will go after you.
Chicken!
Nice initiative, Rob. misplaced, but...
You know, I appreciate it. It shows he's on the ball, at least.
Well, that's true. At least he's listening. And finally, all I will give you is this. Dateline, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Oh, not surprising. Two areas. That area, the Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Stewart area, and Fort Myers, Naples.
Now, you can't throw... Stewart is like a gated community. It doesn't count.
All right, West Palm. Not Palm Beach. West Palm Beach.
Less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Laughter. We strive for it. Sometimes we find it. Maybe we'll find it now with today's edition of the 4 o'clock Fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
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 Hi there.
Well, I guess everybody's at home. Joe Biden's at home.
He sure is in that basement.
Yep. He has had to do countless interviews from his basement, which gave us the opportunity to look over his slumped shoulder and compile today's list of the
top
books in Joe Biden's basement.
Top books in Joe Biden's basement.
Men are from Mars. Women are uncomfortable around me. A light in the attic, an idiot in the basement. Oh, the places you'll grope.
Dog face pony soldier.
You're a lying dog face pony soldier.
The gropes of wrath.
Yeah.
The 7 habits of highly ineffective people. Cloudy with a chance of malarkey. Are you there, Barack? It's me, Dopey Joe.
Your lying dog face pony soldier.
And finally, the very top book in Joe Biden's basement.
Yes.
The girl with the dragon tattoo is a lying dog face pony soldier.
Your lying dog face pony soldier.
Yeah. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
I wanted to get to this yesterday. Didn't have time. You know, I said yesterday how with the COVID, with difficulty in being able to have a lot of prizes to give away because so many businesses are struggling. And, of course, we had Carlos yesterday, so excited. He got his Stan and Haney or Haney bobblehead in the mail for like $17. Our good friend Tim from Arctech Fence, who's been a listener and has helped us out for years, writes, "Ahoy, radio's Mr. Wonderful." I've had the honor of owning both a Stan and Haney bobblehead since a night at the ballpark years ago. I would gladly donate them to your prize pool. Let me know if you'd like me to drop them by the studio. Unfortunately, they will not be in their original packaging. Signed, Tim. Tim, no.
No, those are treasured keepsakes to be passed down through the generations.
Tim, you've had them for years. Now, as soon as somebody in the promotions department, because I can almost guarantee it.
Tim, until your great-grandchildren are going through your things decades from now, and your great-great-grandson says, "Hey, Dad, what's this?" "I don't know. Put it in the junk pile."
Yeah, we have more in this building. I'm going to go, and when things kind of get back to normal, I'm going to find them. I think we still have several Haney bobbleheads left here.
What are you talking about?
Because mine, I think, are gone. Remember Do you remember that we said, "Oh, we got plenty of Haney bobbleheads. There are no more stands." We give away all the Haney bobbleheads, and then suddenly, like a wall full of Stan bobbleheads show up. And Matt Mangus has a bobblehead still in a box. Let's see which one this is. Let's see which one this is. Something tells me stands are all sold out.
Yeah,
this has got to be a Haney bobblehead. Hold on. Oh, it's a Stan bobblehead.
Yeah, I remember when you did that to me at the ballpark.
I didn't do that to you.
And you pretended that all the stands were gone, so you were signing my bobbleheads.
Haney,
it's fine. I'll just sign your bobbleheads.
They misplaced my box.
I know they did, but you made it seem like everybody wanted stands and nobody wanted mine.
Yeah, mine was the most sold. What are you talking? We gave two to everybody. Sorry about that, folks. You know what? Maybe should we save this for Carlos?
Yeah. Yeah, you should get that to Carlos.
Carlos, I have a Stan bobblehead here. I don't know how we're going to get it to you down in Miami, but I got one here for you. Maybe somebody can
figure it out. Stan, I got an idea.
What?
You might be able to engage a company that makes regular deliveries to Miami to take it over to him.
This company won't pay for that. This is from...
Yeah, most of the expense is shipping.
Yeah. This is from Andrea. Andrea, thank you for this, but I don't have time. So if people want to go and look at this, they can. Stan and Haney, look into how the Canadian government is giving out help to the unemployed. This being from a dual citizen. Take care and stay safe. I don't know what they're doing, how they're doing it. Okay. The Guardian is here, and
Jesus,
he took a lot of heat yesterday because he talked about protesters protesting nurses, and we hadn't.
And
heard
I
of that.
I still haven't seen any of that.
And the other day, I got a lot of heat on the Absolute Law text line with him about him. It wasn't, and I spared him any of that stuff. Let's see what he has to say. Subject line: I don't care.
You've done it. You've done it now.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, yes, I have heard negative comments about nurses.
Where?
I don't know where. It was during one of the first protests. Anyway, nurses are true heroes.
We're not arguing that.
Arguing that.
I've not heard anybody say anything bad about nurses.
Me neither. But he says it was during one of the first protests.
And what did they say?
I don't know.
So,
Stan, a bunch of tough guy texters didn't like my comments on the reopening of things. Look, you numbskulls, I don't give a crap whether you follow the rules or not. I was just expressing my opinion. And Stan, as you know, through the years, there's been a lot of haters of me. Give me a Jesus on that.
Jesus.
But you know what? I don't give an SH blank T. I'm confident, smart, and I do have an opinion on everything that goes on. Let me tell you why I said those things. It's because I knew there was a certain segment that would think they could go out and take no precautions. All I was trying to do was remind people that we're not out of the woods yet. So if you think I was trying to make a decision for you, you're way off base.
Guardian, you started with a flawed premise that everybody's turned on nurses. And I don't think that's happened.
And if you don't like me, good. One less a-hole I have to deal with. You guys are the best, sign the Guardian.
Jesus.
You have managed to turn...
How do you always put it on me?
Our most loyal listener against us.
I love the Guardian.
Yeah, I can tell.
But there are people that bow up.
You get him all stirred up, and Jane has to deal with it.
Who is
a nurse, by the way.
Yes, she is. And a hero in our books. I don't know who the hell's protesting against nurses. I haven't seen it.
I've not heard a word against nurses.
Not once.
I would really like to know where this came from.
You're looking for a time and a place, aren't you, Haney?
Well, it obviously affected him. It can't be made up.
It did. It affected him so much, he's projecting his anger on us.
Yeah, he's like ready to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what made him mad.
No, me neither. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
Jesus.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon. Going to get you updated on traffic here, and then I'm going to tell you something that 7-Eleven here in Florida is doing tomorrow. Something very special for healthcare workers and first responders. I'll tell you about that in a second. Let's get you updated. Just one thing on the board should be in the clearing stages now. An earlier crash, Lehigh Acres, Lee Boulevard, and Gunnery Road North. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Told you about this earlier, and it's fantastic. Listen up, healthcare workers and first responders. Tomorrow, you're going to get a free lunch at participating Florida 7-Eleven stores. It's going to be from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. as part of the company's effort to thank them for their service. Stores will have signage indicating their participation and lunch options for you. Customers simply show their work ID to claim their free lunch with thanks for their tireless work during this pandemic. So mark it down. All of our healthcare workers and first responders, tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at participating 7-Elevens, you get yourself a free lunch. So thank you very much. Thank you, 7-Eleven. Ahoy.
Stan.
Yeah. Jeez.
Brock Beasley.
Brock. Mr. Beasley. Yes, sir. Are you in town, sir? Are you? Where are you, sir?
Where I am is not of your concern, okay?
All right. You're calling during the show, sir.
You're damn right I am. Last time I checked, my name's on the company.
Okay. What can I do for you, Mr. Beasley?
Well, the first thing you can do is to stop my phone from ringing because you're doing stupid stuff like going on the air and going after nurses and healthcare professionals.
What?
And calling them names.
What?
And you got everybody all upset.
What are you? I am not calling any.
What do you mean? No. Don't give me that. And not more than 5 minutes ago, I was getting complaint calls. I turned on the radio, and there you are saying nurses are bad.
No. No.
What exactly did you call nurses? How dare you? How dare you?
There was.
We are in the middle of a pandemic, okay? And those people are saving lives every day while you sit on your duff insulting them.
Brock, I try to get pumped for this show, and I know there's a lot of things going on, and I wouldn't say anything bad about nurses or healthcare workers. I was reading an email.
Well, whatever excuse that you want to make, I'm going to get a hold of that tape. Okay?
Go ahead. But I'll provide. And I was going and defending because we had an emailer, regular emailer to the show, whose wife happens to be a nurse, saying that he was hearing all kinds of protests talking down nurses and healthcare workers, and I didn't know where it was coming. I'm just reading it. It's my voice, Brock, but it's not me saying it. I'm just reading an email.
Well, that's just insane. Who would be calling nurses' names?
I don't know. That's what I was asking. Why do you always put the blame on me that I'm doing something? I've been with you for 30 years, and I think I've earned the right to have a little respect from you.
Oh, for crying out loud, don't give me that earn the right. We made our bed, we laid in it, okay? Now.
What?
You should have gotten some very detailed memos today.
I did get some very detailed memos.
As to how we are going to proceed at the cluster level of PPE and social distancing.
Yes.
So that we will be in full compliance and therefore non-legally liable if anybody gets sick.
Is that why you're doing this? Yeah, I got all kinds of messages
today. You should have got several memos, and on the back of that, there's a back page where you just sign your name agreeing to hold us harmless.
Your brother sent them out today, and it was just as a memo. I have to sign something?
Well, congratulations, Stan. You just earned yourself a pop quiz.
What? Oh, I'm on the air, Brock.
I don't care what you're doing. You know what? I'll hold on. You go outside, look at the front of the building, and tell me whose name's on it.
Says Beasley Media Group.
Uh-huh.
You're Brock Beasley.
Well, you're off to a roaring start.
Did your brother tell you to call me? Why didn't he just come in and say something? I saw him earlier today.
Well, he's just disgusted with you.
What?
How's... He said any man that would have the nerve to go on the public airwaves and insult healthcare professionals, I can't be with them.
They're not listening. They're not listening to what's going on. I'm not getting in trouble for this. I am not getting in trouble for this. And whatever you want me to sign so that I don't sue you, I'll do it.
Because it says on there... It says on there...
What does it say?
That if you were for some reason to find yourself on a ventilator and unable to speak...
Yeah.
These words will speak for you...
And I got to sign that?
And it grants us, as the company, power of attorney, so we decide when it's time to flip the switch.
Wouldn't that be like my immediate family, my wife, my daughter, to decide when they pull the plug on my ventilator?
Stan, do you think that we give you life insurance out of the goodness of our hearts?
You only give me like $10,000. I got to buy the rest. Now look, I got a
Stan,
what, Mr. Beasley?
That's 10,000 that you know of.
Yes, 10,000 that I'm told. What if would my loved ones get more?
Stan, there comes a point. See,
I hear what you're saying.
I'm an executive, and I have to make the hard choices.
Yes.
And I have to determine at what point you become a liability to my company.
You've been telling me I've been a liability for 28 years.
Well, most of that was to keep you in line. Sometimes it's true.
Okay, I got a memo.
You know what? You know what? I hear what you're saying, okay? But Stan... Yeah. At the end of the day, all I need you to do so that you can demonstrate proficiency, because people in that building look up to you, okay?
Oh, you always say that, and it's not true.
I need you to show me that you understand the memo. Now, what are we going to be doing, Stan?
The memo said that there's going to be only one entrance. You got to get your temperature taken when you come in, and then there's going to be a floor plan on the floor in which direction I'm supposed to walk. Right? So far, so right?
You're doing real good.
Okay.
You're doing real good.
Yep. Is there more?
Well, have you read the sections on the penalties? Because when we make new law, it will be enforced.
What's going to be the penalties? I mean, suppose I got something, I got dead air, and I was outside or out in the other part of the radio station getting some kind of memo or something or traffic report, and I got to run real quick to the radio station, and I go down a one-way hallway.
Well, I can tell you at that point, you'll probably look around, think, okay, I'm fine. Nobody saw me.
Right. And I said, isn't it the whole thing about what's on the air? I mean, you don't want dead air because I have to take the scenic route around the radio station.
Now, why do you serve a big, fat, slow pitch at me like that? Because there's some that might think dead air would be an improvement. Bam!
You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm trying to get pumped.
Because
we're starting to open back up again.
You're going to think there ain't nobody around.
Yeah.
But I can assure you that somehow, some way, Adam will knock you out.
Yeah, he's good at doing that.
That Weasley some bitch, I know more about you than you think I do.
From him?
Oh, yeah, I know about everybody in that building.
What do you know about Haney?
He's a good man. Fair man.
Hero?
You know, I would call him a hero, but I know he doesn't like it.
Right. What do you know about Rob Show and him over there, our producer and night guy? What do you know about him?
Here's what I know about Rob Show. He is the next major market morning talent. And I've been saying this for 5 years, that tomorrow is going to be a big day for him.
What? First of all, he hasn't been working here for 5 years. And you've been saying that tomorrow is going to be a big day for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any time now, lightning is going to strike.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, mm-hmm. somebody else will want to hire him.
Yeah.
We'll stop them, and if they want them that bad, they'll pay. So we got him tied up at night. We got him cleaning bathrooms. We got him doing everything. Well, you know that.
Yeah, yeah. How's our program director, Matt Mangus, doing?
Who?
Matt Mangus.
Mitch Mangus.
hasn't Adam told you about him?
Hold on a second. Mangus.
Yeah.
He hadn't worked for us since 96, I think.
He was hired back like 3-4 years ago.
Hold on a second. I distinctly remember firing him, Stan.
You
sure?
A member of your family hired him back.
Well, no one told this office.
And you know what? And I want to do that. Well, I have the opportunity to get you, have you on the line. I want to give a big salute to our chief engineer, Richard, who through all of this thing has kept things going the way they should.
You will not hear me say a bad word about Richard.
Nope. You will.
Because
you won't.
I don't understand what he does. I don't know how radio works. I mean, I understand that I turn on the radio and I can hear a bunch of nonsense out of your mouth, but how it gets there, I don't know, which puts me in a difficult spot because I own the place, but I can't go in there with a pair of pliers and make it come back on if it goes off.
He's invaluable.
And he knows it too, boy.
He won't let you forget it, will he?
Well, you can take lessons from him. That's somebody got my ass over a barrel. I'll pay him whatever he wants.
All right.
Well, you want me to trade you out a new pickup truck again? Okay. You need some band equipment on the company credit card? Go ahead.
When do I have to have these papers signed, by the way, that basically gives you power of attorney over my life?
ASAP.
And, what?
And I hear you've been hassling Haney about quietly working from home like he's supposed to.
They say it's
going to
be...
And that you are demanding that he come back into the building.
He's going to have to come back at some point. They're going to go and start gradually bringing people back. I would think you would be first and foremost want to have him in here and the two of us doing a show. Don't you think, Mr. Beasley, that's important?
You know what? He has never sounded happier to me. I would leave the man alone. But if you insist on this.
Yeah.
Now, as you understand with your paperwork, I will not be liable. But if, God forbid, Haney smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Yes, he does.
If he goes back in there and he gets sick, I'm going to make sure to leave the language in that he can sue you personally.
Sue me personally because he's coming back to his place
because
of business?
And I don't know if you've told him this about how you're demanding that he come back there.
I'm saying as soon as he can come back, he should come back. We're doing a show.
Look, there's one way that he can come back there.
What's that?
And it's going to require some sacrifice on your part.
On my part? Why is it always my part?
You ever heard of a micro shell?
Micro shell? What's a micro shell?
Well, a micro shell is like a space suit.
Oh, yeah, with the clear hood on it and the proper ventilation and all that. It's got a front pack and a whole deal.
Yeah, I really enjoy mine. I feel like a spaceman. and it's got its own ventilation system, and it's got a camera, speakers, wireless comms. It even allows you to mute people you don't want to hear from.
Yeah. You, things have now, got, things have got to be real willing, tough for you.
If you're willing to invest in a microshell, I'm not buying it for you.
How much are they?
It's one of them things if you got to ask, buddy boy.
Okay. Yeah, but you have one, and I guess every brother in the family has one, too.
Oh, of course. See, we are the real essential personnel.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And
you are fake essential personnel.
I'm fake essential personnel. Well, how do you figure that? I'm the last line that goes out to the air. I'm speaking into a microphone.
Stan, you may be the president of the United States, but I am the Illuminati.
When do you think you're going to get to go back to Vegas, Brock?
As soon as they open the pyramid up, I'm there, buddy boy.
We'll be back.
What a spot for a vacation. And this family's brought everything they need for a perfect one, including
Stan and Haney
in genuine top grain cowhide, which costs less than a tenth of a cent an hour to operate.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Mark Haney and the news. In just moments, Rob's show will be in at 6 o'clock to take you through your Wednesday evening, and he will have a 6 o'clock safe word that could get you $500. Let's get updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon, shall we? Okay, we got a few things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers. Got a disabled vehicle. First Street and Hendry Street. Lehigh Acres, Hit and Run, Douglas Lane and Gunnery Road South. And in Bonita Springs, crash. Old 41 Road and Bonita Drive. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, May 6th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know.
All right.
Back in 1896, Americans were far easier to amuse.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take much. Coney Island, New York, 1896, they opened a new thrill ride.
Oh, they had a lot of them up on Coney Island.
This one was a big hit. They called it an escalator.
Ooh.
Now, what you would do is walk up to what appeared to be a fairly normal staircase. But the steps were moving.
Yeah, that was a big deal back in the late 1800s.
Get your tickets here. Get your tickets here, thrill ride.
You ever look at those old footage that, from Coney Island where they had Luna Park over there and they had a bunch of other amusement parks? I mean, you want to talk about death rides that there's no way under God's green earth they would allow it today, you know, like hang from a spinning rope. They'd have these steeplechase rides that you would sit on this wooden horse and they'd send it straight down a hill. Nothing protecting you. You could fall right off and get run over by the thing.
Stan, that was prior to the pussification of America.
It's so true.
Which was a communist plot hatched in the 1940s, and their motto was, make America soft in mind, soft in body, and then we can roll right in.
Go and YouTube Coney Island, early 1900s, and take a look at the rides that were waiting to kill. And the escalator at that, they didn't know it then. They thought it was a marvelous invention. The tip is true today. Keep your kids, your little kids, away from the sides of escalators because their little pant leg or their little shoe can get caught into it and drag them right into the grinder.
Well, that's part of the appeal, I think.
Kids to
the
center.
It's not that you want that to happen, but the fact that it could makes you feel a little like a daredevil.
Yep, there's a danger there. Now, a lot of them have guards that try to prevent that, but they're not maintained, and you'll get eaten alive.
Well, at least an escalator is honest about it. Elevators, they hide it all from you. If you could see what was going on, you'd never get on one.
Oh, you know, your big, tall elevators with your cables, and then then you've got, and they've been known to fail, the small, you know, 2-3 floor elevators that are done with hydraulic lifts, they go bad.
Yeah, if the elevator was clear, you would never get on one.
No.
You go, what, are you nuts? That's way too high, baby.
Yep. Yep.
Stan, you know your astronomy pretty well.
Fair.
What is the closest planet to the sun?
Mercury.
Very good. So would Mercury be the hottest planet?
Yes.
Nope. Venus gets hotter because global warming.
Oh, my bad on that. What? What?
Yeah, although Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, Venus gets hotter than Mercury because it traps that heat and holds it.
Oh. All right. Wasn't it you that said there's on Venus there's a sweet spot in there? If you were floating in the air, you could still live?
Yes. That's been proven, and they know the precise coordinates that if somehow, and it's not all that far-fetched, because it would all be based on inflatable stuff, that if you were in like a blimp, or something that could hold you at a certain point in the atmosphere of Venus, it would have the same atmosphere and pressure as Earth. You could breathe the air
openly. And so as
openly.
That blimp was flying around, you could open the windows and start waving to everybody.
Yep. Hell, if you could figure out the proper way to keep it in place, you could have ball fields, everything.
Wow.
And imagine traveling in space, which is still a big deal for us. Traveling all that way, you've seen the Earth disappear from sight days ago. And, you know, I would imagine the sun would dominate everything as you got closer. And then, well, what do you say, fellas? Want to stop and take the helmets off for a minute? That'd be wild.
Yeah, you know, big milestone supposed to be happening to the end of this month. SpaceX is going to put a couple of astronauts in at the Cape and put them up at the space station. First time in years since Obama gutted Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, and everybody talks about the Russians. Well, Obama paid the Russians to take our astronauts up there in the Soyuz.
As it is right now, we are
That's what he chose to do. Rather than budget for our space program, he paid the Russians cash to take our astronauts to our space station.
And it's still going on until the end of this month, where SpaceX, which is, who did that one? That's the
Elon Musk.
Musk. We're going to be launching Americans back on good old American rockets from the Cape.
Oh, yeah. And you know who's going to be happy about that?
Who?
The astronauts.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Because riding in the Soyuz is like riding in a Chevy Vega. What Musk has built will be like riding in a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm. End of this month.
And you may think, oh, that's no big deal, but it takes it from being a harrowing hell ride into a pleasant journey.
Correct.
Probably have somebody serving drinks. And
well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. They had to get something. They had to get something like that because they're going to launch Tom Cruise up there.
Oh, yeah, so he can film his movie in space.
Whatever.
That's juice.
Yeah, that's juice.
I don't even think a Gene Hackman could have gotten that
done. Oh, hell no. Nope.
I can't think of anybody that could get that done. Matter of fact, I can't think of anybody that would do it.
Yeah, I know.
But he's always looking to die.
Yep. What a martyr.
You know, speaking of entertainment, I know you're a big fan of television shows like Mannix and Cannon.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And when you watch those shows, you learn certain things. Like if a criminal element wants to kidnap you but not kill you, they'll sneak up behind you and then put a rag with chloroform over your nose and mouth to take you out instantly.
Yep.
And then no one's the wiser.
Yeah, they pour a little chloroform in a rag and then they get you.
The problem is, if you actually tried that, you would learn the hard way that you would have to overpower the person for a full 5 minutes to knock someone out, not the 2 seconds it takes during Cannon.
Yeah, you got to breathe that in. You got to breathe it in.
And we all know AOC.
Oh, we sure do.
And she got elected to Congress by answering a classified ad that was looking for a candidate with certain attributes. You know, female, ethnic, could speak.
Yeah.
And that's how she's in Congress.
Yeah. I think 27 people voted for her in her district, and she was in.
Yeah. So she didn't put together the organization. They put out literally a classified ad, like you'd look for someone to play a role.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out she is not the first politician to get their start that way. That's how Richard Milhouse Nixon entered politics.
Really?
Answering a classified ad. A group of Republicans in California took out an ad looking for someone new to back in a congressional election, and Nixon responded, "I'm your man."
Am I hearing something talking? Is that your Alexa talking to you?
Yes, it's telling me all about the California Republican Party, which I didn't ask for. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
You know, listeners of this program have already been informed and taken precautions against the Asian giant murder hornets.
Yep.
And the rest of the world is just catching up. Once again, we're way ahead of them. If somehow you're not murdered by a murder hornet, they can make for a delicious snack.
Mm-mm.
In Japan, where the hand can be used as a knife.
But don't do this, that to an heirloom tomato.
Hiya!
Oh, no. What a mess. In Japan, where the murder hornets kill up to 50 people a year and they just write it off. Yeah, well, murder hornet's gonna murder. People have been eating them for a while. They're considered a delicacy. It turns out that they're awfully high in protein.
Yeah.
And since they're giant, they're easy to pan fry and serve on a skewer like a kebab.
Nice.
More than 30 high-end Japanese restaurants have them on the menu. A man in New York who runs a company dedicated to edible insects, which is stupid. It's what God made cows for, folks.
Yeah.
Says, quote, people have compared it to a popcorny flavor without the butter. Sounds delicious. Oh, look, I just ate a murder hornet, and it tastes like dry popcorn. Well worth it. In a moment.
96K Rock. Everything that rocks. With a chance for you to hit the money shot from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and win $500. Listen for the K-Rock safe word every other hour starting at 8 a.m. You then have until 15 after the hour to enter at 96krock.com, the K-Rock mobile app, or you can text the safe word to 45911. Plus, all web and app entries qualify for the $10,000 grand prize.
Yes, I'm so excited!
That is so awesome!
This is so awesome. Thank you so much.
Listen 7 times every weekday for the safe word and be one of our company-wide money shot winners.
The best station in the world. Thank you. I love you guys.
Check out all the money shot information at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it's been documented on this show many times. We've turn into a country that's 50% narcs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're having their difficulties with the same problem in Canada. I don't need to tell a certain portion of the audience that Monday was Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Yep, be with you.
I can't wait until Motorhead Day. You know when that is, don't you?
When's that, Haney?
The 8th of May! The 8th of May!
Well, Star Wars Day backfired in a big way for a pop culture theme restaurant called Coco Vanilla Galactic Cantina in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada.
I'll leave it to those Canucks.
To celebrate Star Wars Day, one of their female employees got all excited, went all in, dressed in a full, authentic stormtrooper outfit to wander the street trying to drum up business. Now, as everyone knows, if you want to make the stormtrooper outfit authentic, well, you'd better be carrying a blaster or no one will believe
you. Oh, that's true. I've been to these cons. You gotta have a blaster.
Well, evidently, this is a foreign concept to Canadians. people saw the woman in full stormtrooper regalia holding a blaster and immediately called the police. Again, they were under the impression the Star Wars blaster was a real gun, even though the woman was in full costume as a stormtrooper.
Yeah, they took her right to the ground.
The police pulled their blasters.
Yeah, they did.
Forced her to the ground.
I just saw the video.
Handcuffed her and put her in a police car. It took about an hour before sanity prevailed. Not a pleasant hour for her. And she was released without charges. The owner of the restaurant is fuming, and he's been talking with the employee's family about potentially taking legal actions against the police. You know, somebody being a jackass and waving something around, I understand. Even if it's got a red tip on it.
Yep.
But, you know, what, are they going to report me for my lightsaber now? I know how to use it. I'm responsible. You know, with all that's been going on, human beings aren't the only ones that are confused.
Who else are confused other than human beings?
Chickens.
Oh, well.
Police in Walker, Louisiana, posted a Facebook message a few days ago requesting the public's help in tracking down a, quote, aggressive chicken.
It happens.
Apparently, the chicken was hanging around a bank and harassing people as they tried to get out of their cars or use the ATM. But Stan, as I'm sure you can imagine, by the time police arrived to try and grab the chicken, it had fled the scene.
Of course it did.
It'll do that even without a head.
I've seen it.
And unfortunately, it appears that the aggressive chicken remains at large.
Hmm.
But this is Louisiana. Somebody from Popeyes will get it.
Yep. Mm-mm.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, I barely need to say more than this. Dateline, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
One of the worst places in Florida. It's a 1A, 1B for that area and our area. Every time, nothing good happens.
And you know how times have changed? It used to be that women were generally well-behaved and older people didn't cause trouble.
Yep.
A 61-year-old gentleman by the name of Derry West was pulled over by police in Port St. Lucie. Because the license plate on his pickup truck wasn't visible. Bad mistake. As police approached the truck, 61-year-old Derry West decided it would be a good idea to get rid of his crack pipe. Jeez. But he's no spring chicken, wasn't born yesterday. Clever. He threw it out the passenger side window. What he didn't know is that they were approaching on both sides of the truck. So when he threw the crack pipe out the window, it hit one of the cops square in the face. Things did not go well for him. He was advised to watch his head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at his mugshot right now. You know what he looks like? He looks like an elderly Michael Jordan.
What are you doing at 61 smoking crack?
I don't know, man. It's a habit. Make you walk
and
fast.
That's the news. It does good things for your heart, too, I'm sure. And that's the news for today, Wednesday, May 6th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Make you walk fast, make you walk fast, correct? Make you walk fast. That's what goes through your head, too, when you're doing it.
You're walking down
the sidewalk. Make you walk fast, make you walk fast.
Once they encouraged men to stop spanking their wives, that's when things went completely out of control.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob Show in at 6 o'clock. $500 safe word coming up then. If you hit the money shot, you could be our next company-wide winner of $500. Let's get you up to date on traffic one last time. All right, checking latest updates. We're all clear right now. Nothing on the board at this time. So you are up to date.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I'm from a worse place. I'm from Royston, Georgia. Anybody heard of that? No one has. It's like an hour from Atlanta. Only 2,000 people live there. Not a lot going on. But we got a website this year, so check it out. After the show, cityofroyston.com, we got a section called Things to Do. And number three is go to Atlanta. So, you don't even have to come. We got one bank in Royston, only one, and it got robbed this year, and the guy got away on a bike, a bicycle, a two-wheeled foot-powered machine. He got away from our whole police. And the town's so small, I know the sheriff. So I asked him, I go, what happened with that? And he goes, oh, yeah, we were looking for a car. And we're not going to look 2 days in a row, so we figured he needed that money more than we did.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Stan.
Yeah. Jeez.
Brock Beasley.
Brock. Mr. Beasley. Yes, sir. Are you in town, sir? Where are you, sir?
Where I am is not of your concern, okay?
All right. You're calling during the show, sir.
You're damn right I am. Last time I checked, my name's on the company.
Okay. What can I do for you, Mr. Beasley?
You should have gotten some very detailed memos today.
I did get some very detailed memos.
As to how we are going to proceed at the cluster level of PPE and social distancing.
Yes.
So that we will be in full compliance and therefore non-legally liable if anybody gets sick.
Is that why you're doing this? Yeah, I got all kinds of messages
so
today.
You should have got several memos, and on the back of that, there's a back page where you just sign your name agreeing to hold us harmless.
Your brother sent them out today, and it was just as a memo. I have to sign something?
Well, congratulations, Stan. You just earned yourself a pop quiz.
What? Oh, I'm on the air, Brock.
I don't care what you're doing. You know what? I'll hold on. You go outside, look at the front of the building, and tell me whose name's on it.
Says Beasley Media Group.
Uh-huh.
You're Brock Beasley.
Well, you're off to a roaring start.
Did your brother tell you to call me? Why didn't he just come in and say something? I saw him earlier today.
Well, he's just disgusted with you.
What?
He said, any man that would have the nerve to go on the public airwaves and insult healthcare professionals, I can't be with them.
They're not listening. They're not listening to what's going on. I'm not getting in trouble for this. I am not getting in trouble for this. And whatever you want me to sign so that I don't sue you, I'll do it.
Because it says on there. It says on there.
What does it say?
That if you were for some reason to find yourself on a ventilator and unable to speak,
yeah,
these words will speak for you.
And I got to sign that?
And it grants us, as the company, power of attorney, so we decide when it's time to flip the switch.
Wouldn't that be like my immediate family, my wife, my daughter, to decide when they pull the plug on my ventilator?
Stan, do you think that we give you life insurance out of the goodness of our hearts?
You only give me like $10,000. I got to buy the rest. When do I have to have these papers signed, by the way, that basically gives you power of attorney over my life?
ASAP.
What?
And I hear you've been hassling Haney about quietly working from home like he's supposed to. And that you are demanding that he come back into the building.
He's going to have to come back at some point. They're going to go and start gradually bringing people back. I would think you would be first and foremost want to have him in here and the two of us doing a show. Don't you think, Mr. Beasley, that's important?
Look, there's one way that he can come back there.
What's that?
And it's going to require some sacrifice on your part.
On my part? Why is it always my part?
You ever heard of a micro shell?
Micro shell? What's a micro shell?
Well, a micro shell is like a space suit.
Oh, yeah, with the clear hood on it and the proper ventilation and all that. It's got a front pack and a little whole deal.
Yeah, I really enjoy mine. I feel like a spaceman. And it's got its own ventilation system. And it's got a camera, speakers, wireless comms. It even allows you to mute people you don't want to hear from.
Yeah. You, things have got to be real tough for you.
If you're willing to invest in a microshell, I'm not buying it for you.
How much are they?
It's one of them things if you got to ask, buddy boy.
Okay. Yeah, but you have one, and I guess every brother in the family has one, too.
Oh, of course. See, we are the real essential personnel.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And
You are fake essential personnel.
I'm fake essential personnel. Well, how do you figure that? I'm the last line that goes out to the air. I'm speaking into a microphone.
Stan, you may be the president of the United States, but I am the Illuminati.
When do you think you're going to get to go back to Vegas, Brock?
As soon as they open the pyramid up, I'm there, buddy boy.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.